This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, adults, I want you to raise your hand after this question. How many of you adults remember playing hide-and-seek as a young child? Oh, just about everyone raised their hand, I think. Now, if there's any children here, and I know there's a few, how many of you children have played hide-and-seek? Raise your hand. All right. Children, too. You see, hide-and-seek is a popular game. It's a popular game because it can be very fun, especially if you have a loving relationship with the person who is looking for you. But you know, because of our sin against God, we sinners end up playing a very tragic game of hide-and-seek. You see, it all started in the beginning when Adam and Eve rebelled against God and then became His enemies in their hearts. After Adam and Eve sinned by disobeying God's will, they immediately did their best to hide from Him. You see, they hid from God because they thought God hated them and would punish them with death, which is what they deserved. But you see, we can't hide from God. God came looking for them, He sought after them, and of course, He found them. But you know what? God did not hate them. Oh, don't get me wrong, He did hate what they had become. Nevertheless, in spite of the fact that they were now His enemies, He still loved them. How did He show His love for them? Well, first He showed His love by rebuking them. He told them that their sinful rebellion would have horrible consequences. He didn't soft coat the truth on that one. But then God also showed His love for them by promising them a Savior. And after that event, God clothed them with animal skin. Think about it. God could have used any material He wanted, but He clothed them with animal skin. That means an animal had to die. Blood had to be shed. Adam and Eve lived because something else died instead. That was the first picture of Christ's sacrifice for us. Well, several thousand years later, things haven't changed. We sinners continue to hide from the one true God, but He still continues to seek after us. And He finds us with His Word. And when He speaks His Word to us, He rebukes our sin, but then also points us to our Savior, His Son, who died for us and conquered death for us, so that we would never have to hide from God again. You see, my friends, God calls us out of hiding, and He bids us to seek Him constantly in faith. And we can do that because we know that through His Son, He forgives us and loves us. However, in today's scripture readings, we learn that this spiritual game of hide-and-seek will not go on forever. This spiritual hide-and-seek will end sometime for each and every one of us, either at the time of our own death or at the time of Christ's return. And scripture clearly teaches that if we are still hiding from God at that point, then that's how we will spend eternity, separated from God's love forever. Now, don't misunderstand me. God desperately wants to save all sinners who are hiding from Him. That's why the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. But if we continue to hide from God, even though He's calling out to us, there will come a time when the seeking will end and we will be separated from God's love forever. But let me stress again, God doesn't want that to happen. And so He gives us a loving warning in today's scripture readings. Essentially, God is saying, ready or not, here He comes. You You see, one day we must stand before God, either at the point of our own death or when Christ returns in glory. And you know what? We don't know when either one is going to happen. And if we are hiding from God at that moment, we will not be ready to meet Him. Therefore, God calls us out of hiding so that we will be ready to meet Him. For instance, in our Old Testament reading from Amos, God seeks out His people who are hiding from Him. And they're hiding from Him in their prideful rebellion, their unrepented sin, and their spiritual apathy. That's how they're hiding from God. They're turning their backs on Him because they don't care. So what does God do? He shows His love by rebuking them very harshly. But why does He do this? Because He knows that they will never, ever, ever seek after Him if they don't take their sin seriously and see their need for God's love and mercy. So God does everything He can to humble them and convict them of guilt so they can hear the good news. And what is the good news? The good news is that in spite of all their sin and all their rebellion against God, they can come to Him knowing that He will forgive them and love them for the sake of the Savior that He has promised to send. That's why God says, "Seek the Lord and live. Seek good and not evil that you may live. Then the Lord Almighty will be with you." You see, God longs to be with us. But if He's not with us, it's not because He has left. It's because we have left Him. So God says, "Seek me and live." And my friends, these words are for us too. You see, the devil wants us to get comfortable with our sin and our spiritual apathy. The devil wants us to live as though God doesn't matter. He wants us to live as though we can do what we want and that's just all a-okay. But God confronts us with our many sins so that we may come to Him in repentance and then know that He will forgive us and accept us for the sake of His Son. And as God moves us to repent of our sins, as He moves us to trust in Christ, we will then be ready to meet Him at the time that we die and also on the final day when Christ returns in glory. In fact, that's why in our gospel reading, Jesus stresses that we should keep watch. Now, what does that mean, keep watch? Well, this means that we should live every day in repentance and faith, knowing that we could stand before God at any moment. You see, we don't know the time of Christ's return. In fact, Jesus said that even He doesn't know, but only the Father. Now, how do we figure that one out? If Jesus is God and knows everything, then why doesn't He know the time of His own return? Well, this is one of those mysteries that surround the fact that Jesus was both human and God at the same time. You see, as God, Jesus does know everything, including the time of His return. But while He was on earth, He chose to humble Himself. He allowed Himself to experience hunger, thirst, pain, and even death. He also chose not to know certain information as a human, including not knowing the time of His own return. Therefore, in our gospel reading, Jesus is stressing to His disciples that there is no way for them to know when Christ will return in glory, because even He couldn't tell them that. Therefore, they had to learn to live by faith. You see, Jesus knows that the devil will tempt us to stray from God as long as possible, and then believe the lie that we can seek God later on, when we're good and ready. But my friends, that is a sure way for us not to be ready to meet the Lord. couple years ago, I talked to a person in this community who hadn't been to church in years, didn't care to come, and was also living a sinful life, but didn't care. Thought it was all fine. And then he actually had the arrogance to say to me that he planned to keep on living that way as long as possible, but then he would turn to God just before he died. Well, my friends, he was utterly mistaken for two reasons. First, the reason he was mistaken is that we don't have the power to decide to seek God. Only the Holy Spirit can give us repentance and faith. But if we are constantly resisting the Holy Spirit year after year, even though He's calling out to us and calling out to us, the Bible teaches that such ongoing resistance hardens our heart. And that means after years of resisting the Holy Spirit, there will come a time where we will not respond, no matter how and how loud and long He calls out to us. Secondly, the other reason that this man was mistaken is that we do not know when we must stand before God. That man did not know the time when he would die, nor did he know the time of Christ's return. He was deceived by the devil into living a dangerously foolish life that would have eternal consequences. My friends, Jesus wants to save us from the devil's lies that keep us hiding from God. And Jesus says, keep watch. In other words, this is what Jesus is saying to you today. He's saying, my children, repent of your sins and seek me every day. Why? Because I forgive you and I love you. Trust in me every day, and then you will be ready to meet me when I return. Finally, in our reading from 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul writes the following. He says, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Paul then goes on to stress that unbelievers in this world who are content and at peace with ignoring God, sadly, they are not ready to meet the Lord. They will not be able to escape God's wrath on the final day. But in contrast, we who have been saved, we who trust in Jesus, we do not have to fear death, nor do we have to fear the day of judgment. You see, if we trust in Jesus now as our Savior, then we are ready to meet Him when our time comes. In fact, listen to what Paul writes. He says, but you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. In other words, when you do stand before Jesus, either at the time of your death or on the day when Christ returns, at that time you will rejoice. You will rejoice because you will be able to run into the arms of your Savior whom you trust here and now. You see, if God has given you faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you live a life of repentance, clinging to Christ for mercy, and relying on Him for the strength to live as His child, then you are ready right now to meet Him, and you can look forward to the final day when He returns. In order to illustrate this hope that we have as Christians, allow me to tell you a brief story that will help you understand what we have to look forward to. About 12 years ago, my family and I were living in Bismarck, North Dakota, where I was serving as a pastor at that time, and my son Joshua was 2 years old then. Well, one day I had a busy schedule and Andrea also had some things to do, and so we needed to find someone to watch Joshua. And so we decided to bring him to the drop-in daycare at the YMCA for 2 hours. Now, Joshua had never been there before. So he was scared and sad when I had to leave him. But the woman there assured me that he would be just fine. So I told Joshua I would come back soon, and then I left to do the things I had to do. When I came back 2 hours later, I was happy to see, when I looked through the door, that at the other end of the room, my son was in a good mood, happily playing with the toys that they had there. But of course, his back was turned to me, so he didn't even know I had come back. Well, at that point, I called out, "Joshua!" And then he stopped what he was doing. He turned around, and in surprise, he said, "Daddy, you're back!" And then he ran across the room into my arms, and I took him home. My Christian friends, one day Jesus will return like a thief in the night. One day he will return in visible form. He will call out your name, and in surprise and wonder, you will turn around and you will say, "Jesus, you're back!" And you will run into his loving arms, and he will take you home for all eternity. Ready or not, here he comes. The good news is that God has made you ready. God loves you. He wants you to be ready when he returns. And he makes you ready by seeking you out, by calling you out of hiding, and by bringing you to faith in his Son, your Lord and Savior. So, since Jesus has saved you, seek the Lord every day, and you will be ready to meet him when he returns. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.